Welcome to the Real Estate Trainer Podcast with your host, Brian Eisenhower. This podcast is brought to you by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. ICC provides customized and structured coaching and training programs for real estate agents and team leaders, representing many of the top producing agents in North America. ICC also offers broker and owner consulting on agents recruiting, training, and retention. For more info, visit EisenhowerCoaching.com or find us on Facebook.
A lot of people right now, I think generally speaking, our underlying push for getting listings has always been, okay, let's work our sphere of influence, let's work our MET database, and let's grow that group of people. The problem is we can only contact them so many times. Typically, I certainly hope they've all been contacted by you guys recently. That's a definite spring and summer activity. But now we're moving towards the end of summer and it starts to feel weird to keep contacting them too many times unless you've got something unique going on. And we've talked about a lot of unique things we could get going on. So then we start talking about how do we start looking for listings from people we don't know, from new people. And a lot of us right now are starting to like try to target geography by looking for listings in real estate farms, right? Like what can I do to get more listings in that neighborhood, in my neighborhood, in that neighborhood that has a higher price point? The method for getting listings in specific target markets, that to me is devoting some of your resources, whether that be time, money, or both, into those efforts is probably the second biggest way to generate listings outside of your own sphere of influence, which is going to dominate. Your sphere of influence should be about 75% of your listings because people generally tend to list with people they're very comfortable with. On the buy side, they don't need to be as comfortable with you, right? I mean, it's literally get me in the house and then you're my agent. Oftentimes that happens on the buy side. That doesn't happen very often on the listing side. Here's a key to my house. I'm going to be seeing you a lot. You're going to be marketing our property. You're going to be exposed to my family, to a lot of private things about us. So on the listing side, they tend to gravitate more towards people they know, which is why people that have strong spheres of influence, people that have built a MET database and cultivated and done what they're supposed to do, those people, they typically tend to get the most listings. You wonder how they get it. It's because they work those for, you know, over and over again. And then those people trust them and they feel comfortable with them and they use them to list property. However, that's not to say we can't generate listings from people we don't know as well. And there's lots of ways to do it. I do love it when we try to target price points or neighborhoods to work out of, right? Because then we can actually take a huge market and move it into a target market where we can systematize our attack and we can increase our game of touches by contacting those people lots of different ways more consistently over time, okay? And the concept is referred to as farming. However, there's ways to spot farm so that you don't have to overly commit to a neighborhood, mail them every week, you know, build websites for the neighborhood and spend 2 to 3 years working on them. There are lots of other shorter, quicker, faster returns that we can do that are a part of farming that where we can generate listings out of those neighborhoods. And one of the ones, and a lot of these lead generation methods start to really overlap. One of those would be prospecting for expired listings. That's probably, to me, the most valuable tool of a farmer is if Rudy wants to be the agent of choice in Royal Oaks, if I'm Rudy, I have got the Royal Oaks neighborhood set up in my MLS so that if any listings are expired or canceled, I forgot about that one. So if they're expired or canceled, Rudy's going to get an email right away, right? That morning. I want to know. Because that means there is someone on the other end of that, you know, that has that listing in my neighborhood that very recently wanted to sell their house. And for whatever reason, typically it's price, they could not. So at that point in time, as we all know, they tend to look for another agent, right? And I know a lot of you have been that first agent before, and then they go to another agent and then they reduce the price to the amount you told them to, and then the other agent sells it. And that happens over and over again. In this instance, I'm saying, why not be that second agent? Let the other agent struggle with the high price, and then you come on and look like a white knight and save the day. And it's really interesting. The seller mentality around this is crazy. it's usually denial, right? You know, the first agent has told them a gazillion times that they need to reduce their price. The seller argues with the agent. And then, and this is where the first agent makes the biggest mistake, is you keep trying to argue with them to get their price down. That's the mistake. Because if you do that, now you've dug in like a Republican and a Democrat against each other. There is no logic at all that will change the position you've burrowed yourself into. So then what they do is they wait for the listing to expire, fire you, and then hire another agent and tell them exactly, hey, we're ready for this new price. Because they'll admit it to the new agent because they're not dug in an argument against the new agent. They're dug in against the Republican or the Democrat that they have to save face in front of their first agent because you've got an adversarial relationship with them where you argued a lot. So you got to be very careful about how you persuade and convince. And you got to be really good at a needs analysis to get them to self-discover the need to reduce, right? Regardless, that's neither here nor there. If Rudy gets that email in Royal Oaks neighborhood, now he's got an opportunity to A, pick up the phone and call that seller. He can door knock that seller. May not be the best depending on where you live right now. Might freak somebody out in the coronavirus environment. But so sooner or later that'll be over and we can door knock it. You certainly can leave a package on the front door, like a listing presentation package. We can try to get contact. We can find them on Facebook. We can direct message them there. And what we're basically doing and saying is this, it's very simple. Hey, we are, you know, and it's exactly, this plays off of what Natalie said. We need listings like nobody's business. Just to let you know, that median sales chart just got popped in the chat. So thank you, Lacey, for doing that. So you guys can then click the download button and pull that image out of there. So what ends up happening is we get in front of this person, whether it be verbally, even if it has to be digitally, we need to explain them that we are in a full-blown housing crisis. And this is something that really needs to be said, and I need you to believe it. We do not have enough shelter for human beings in this country. We don't have enough houses for people. We have a shortage of shelter. And that's why housing prices are going up. Because shelter is getting more and more of an unreachable dream for people. It's a crisis. We got people living on streets. It is not good. And I don't see anything changing it. The last thing is happening is builders aren't building a lot of houses. So we're not getting a lot of new supply. We have very low new construction starts, nothing compared to what we had in 04, 05, 06, and 07. So we don't have nearly enough new housing supplying the market, so we need listings like mad. So when we're calling people, we can kind of explain that in a lot less words and say, hey guys, I saw your house was on the market, and if you're still interested in selling, we could really use more listings right now. In fact, with a lot of expired listings companies, it's actually very possible to get expired listings going back 2 years. So you can actually look at all the listings that were expired and canceled for 2 years in a particular neighborhood. And most of those companies cost you anywhere from $50 to $200 per month to get that data. The contact information, it depends if you need email addresses, cell phone numbers, however many phone numbers and contact informations per household, but it's very easy to purchase that. And when that happens, you can reach out and really, really go back and shop for listings in any farm neighborhood. And if we're not doing that and we're a farmer, I think it's the most important thing we do as farmers is call old expireds in a farm, because it's the highest conversion rate of anything you'll do. And it costs next to nothing. Compared to what you spend on mailers and things like that, and marketing and social media targeting and things like that, calling expireds, people we know wanted to sell their house. And now, especially if it's 2 years ago, right? I mean, think of how much more their house is worth now. And we can tell that to them on the phone and say, hey guys, I mean, houses have come up probably about 10% since your house was listed. We can probably get your list price and then some now if you're still interested in selling at all. There's never been a better time in the history of this country to be a home seller. So how about we try now? And nothing I'm saying is incorrect. It's all pretty darn accurate. Go ahead, Wayne.
Been going through, and I have a few expired listings from a few years ago, not too many, but I've been touching all of those people with just that dialogue.
Yeah, we need listings. We have buyers, right? And it really does help if you've got a few buyers, and most people do. and you just tell them, hey, we've got some buyers that just need listings, and conveying them some real important data too, saying, hey, man, I mean, we've got like six pending in this neighborhood and no new listings. Tell them that, you know, so do a little research. I'll keep using Rudy and Royal Oaks, but look at Royal Oaks and see how many listings there are and how many have sold and how fast they sold, and explain that to people. It's tremendous, you know. The other thing I'd be looking at is for sale by owners. Look for sale by owners, either now or old ones in your neighborhood. Going on places like Craigslist, depending where you live, definitely Zillow is a good place to look for these, no matter where you live. But it can vary wherever you find FSBOs. But FSBOs, those are people that we know want to sell right now too, but usually people aren't seeing their listing because they're not in the multiple listing service. So no one really knows it's for sale, because FSBOs are trying to market to the general public, and marketing real estate to the general public is ridiculous. We market to agents because 98% of agents are used to buy 98% of real estate sales. So when we're marketing a listing, we're actually marketing to the agents, not the general public. And a lot of people just don't get that one. Drives me nuts. So they just try to market randomly out there to the public as if someone's just going to drive over and look at a billboard and buy your house. It just doesn't work that way. So we market to agents. And if a FSBO listing is not being marketed to agents, then no one's seeing it. So what we're trying to do with FSBOs, especially in our farms, is the same thing. At least make contact, tell them we need listings, say, hey, we've got nine pending in here and yours is the only active listing. Let's get it sold, man. Can I list it? I'll get it sold. And if they say no, say, well, great. Well, let me just help you in the meantime. So in the meantime, you're just trying to stay in contact, be friends with them, nurture them, give them help. You know what I mean? Like send people their way, maybe try to show their house, ask if you can hold an open house for them, if that's appropriate in this environment right now, you know, stuff like that. You're just trying to befriend them and build rapport and try to at least communicate with a FSBO seller once a week for anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. That's usually enough time for them to trust you and respect you for staying with them and not going away. And then when they finally give up and say, you know what, I'm going to list it with an agent, it's you. Because most FSBO sellers that are unable to sell their home, I think it's something like 85% of them list with an agent. So, you know, sticking around pays dividends. Those are two of the probably the most important ways to focus. Those are the first things. If I'm a farmer and I'm farming geographic neighborhoods for listings I don't know, those are the first two things I do. First, and that's above all marketing. I would do that before I send out one mailer. I mean, I would do that above anything. That's how high of a conversion rate those two activities are. I want to throw a third one out there that's pretty powerful right now too, with that we need listings script, and that is circle prospecting. And that means when we call circle prospecting, that means, okay, we've got a listing on a map, you know, a visual map in front of you. And then if you just draw a circle around it, you know, you've got a radius around that area, we call within that circle. And that's why they call it circle prospecting. It does not need to be a circle. What I'm referring to is you calling sellers or homeowners in a particular neighborhood. So let's go back to Rudy's example of the Royal Oaks neighborhood, and Rudy picks up. And so you're not calling someone, the difference here is we're not calling someone that we know wants to sell their home like we are with FSBOs and expired listings. In this case, we're calling someone that not only do we not know them, we also don't know if they want to sell their home. So believe it or not, this is the only call I believe in real estate that actually is a cold call. Okay. To me, a warm call is calling someone we know wants to sell their home or calling someone that we know. Those are warm calls. A cold call is someone that wants to do neither. And that is my definition, just to let you know. That's not the official definition. That's my definition, right? However, believe it or not, this is really powerful in low housing inventory markets like this one, because you can pick up the phone and say, hey, this is Brian Eisenhower. I'm with Keller Williams Realty. And we're just calling everybody in the Royal Oaks community because we have quite a few buyers that are looking to move into this neighborhood, and we need more listings. The last six homes that have gone up for sale in this neighborhood have sold at or above asking price in less than a week. And so if you know anybody, any of your friends or neighbors that live in Royal Oaks that's thinking about selling, we might be able to get that home sold without ever going through the time and hassle of putting that on the market, because we got a ton of listings right now. So you start getting that word out by calling through that neighborhood with the "we need listing" script, because we are in a housing crisis and we have a shortage of shelter in this country. You'll be shocked at how many people say, you know, we are thinking about selling. And this is why it's unique right now, because those people often say, really? You mean it's a good market right now? Even with COVID? Look at Wayne nod his head. That's because it's true. People don't realize it's a hot real estate market right now. They have no idea. They can't imagine that real estate is booming right now. And they need us to tell them. It's crazy. So there are literally human beings that live in a neighborhood that you want to sell a lot of listings in, that direly want to sell their house, that are not putting their house up for sale because they think it's a bad market. You know why? Lazy real estate agents that won't pick up the phone and inform people. That's why. It's all of your faults. But no, you get it. That's the point. The point of the matter is these people just don't know. And I know I hear it from agents all the time right now, is they nod their head just like Wayne. It's amazing how we have to correct them all and tell them, whoa, 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 you can't go undercutting people $20,000, $50,000 on your offers. It's not that type of market. They think it is because they watch the news, you know, and they think everything's going to hell. They don't realize real estate's not going to hell. It's actually hotter than heck. And you're going to be competing because there's tons of people with lots of money trying to buy real estate. Now, if we flip that around, now we're telling that to sellers, saying, hey, if you're going to sell, this is the time. So if we're talking about the topic, you know, that I want to make sure that we're talking about getting real estate listings in a specific neighborhood, in a specific target market. Okay. If we're trying to get real estate, I would go in this order. I'd go A, I would definitely go after the expireds, right? So what I'd do is I'd go back and I'd look 2 years and I'd call all of them and I'd remember them too. I keep calling them too, because they won't answer sometimes. They won't get back to you. They'll say they're thinking about it. So we're going to put them on an action plan in our CRM where we follow up with them and stay in touch. Okay, that's the first thing I'd do with the expireds. I go, that's the old expireds. Second thing I'd do is I would set myself up on a listing e-alert email for that neighborhood in my own multiple listing service database, right? So that if a new expired comes up or a new canceled comes up, I'm going to get an email right away and I'm going to pounce on them like a jungle cat, right? That's where I'm going to call them. I'm going to drop off a listing presentation packet. I'm going to door knock them. I'm going to try to email them. I'm going to find them on Facebook, and I'm going to try to, if I still don't get a hold of them, I'm going to try it again 4 days from then. I'm going to keep doing it. Okay. Action plan. So we're going to have an expired listing action plan so that when we can do this systematically. Those are my first two things, and those have to do with expired listings. Next up, FSBOs, right? Every week I'm going to go into Zillow or Craigslist, and I'm going to look for all the for sale by owners. I'm going to call them as well too. When I get one or I get a hold of one, action plan. I'm going to set up a 6 to 8 week action plan that sends me reminders to reach out to them and continuously send them something of value, like a CMA, like any new information about the market, a new closing in the neighborhood that may have increased the value of their home or decreased it. Something new about the interest rates. Maybe send them an open house guest list and tell them to hold an open house or whatever. I'm going to keep trying to help add value, come from contribution until they ultimately feel comfortable with me, because that's what you're doing. You're selling you at that point. And then they ultimately feel good about using you. Do not get adversarial with them, which is hard to do. And no one likes talking to FSBOs because FSBOs clearly don't see the value of an agent. So they tend to say not nice things to us. So don't let that get under your skin. Stay positive, stay with them, just let it kind of go water off a duck's back until ultimately they like you. And they do start to like you, right? So that's my second thing I would do. And those won't take you much time because there aren't that many expireds and FSBOs. So believe it or not, the third thing I would do is going to be what's going to take you the most time, which is I would then acquire the contact information for all the people in the neighborhood, okay? You can get that contact information from maybe a title company. There are online sources where you can pay for that. A company that you can buy email addresses and cell phone numbers from four specific neighborhoods is Cole Information Services. You can download all of the databases. They have if you do call them, tell them that you're with Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. If you do that, you will get what is usually a very expensive thing for $99 a month for 3 months. So it's a $300 investment. And then what I would recommend doing, you didn't hear it here, is I would export all of their databases for all of your farm neighborhoods. Now you will have full databases in your CRM with email addresses and cell phone numbers for every single one of the farm neighborhoods you want to contact. That's how, for $300, pretty cheap. So that's how I would do that. Now we can circle prospect, right? We can start to email those people too. We actually have a database of all of the people that live in a neighborhood, which means, and so we can start doing that. We need listings phone call as we work through, and that's where you're gonna spend most of your time. Now, when we have that database, there's a fourth thing we can do, right? Because we started with expireds, then we went down to FSBOs, circle prospecting. Now we can also start to market to them because now we have a full database in coal. So what we can do is we can use Facebook a little bit here with a newer tool. I know, Rocky, you do this at a very high level with a lot of your team's farms. But what we can do is we can actually take a database like Rudy's Royal Oaks database. In fact, Rocky's probably done this, and put it into Facebook so we can upload the entire database of email addresses into Facebook. And now we can do what we call retargeting ads. So we can retarget Facebook ads. This is very different than boosting a post on Facebook, right? So boosting a post is neat. I mean, you can boost a post at a geographic area. Retargeting means you actually put your database into Facebook. And the reason we retarget is because we're marketing back to our own database. So that's retargeting. We're actually advertising back at the database that we put into Facebook. So it's very, very specific. So long as the email addresses we have are the email addresses that they provide to Facebook, those people are going to see advertisements like a Just Listed or like a listing video you did or any video or post that you put on Facebook. Those people in Royal Oaks neighborhood are going to constantly see you working in a hyper-local way towards Royal Oaks. And I would recommend that if you're going to do advertisements that are retargeted back to a farm neighborhood, make them hyper-local, which means reference the neighborhood name, because these are the only people that are going to see the ad. So you can say you're Royal Oaks specialist and you can mention it in your videos, and Royal Oaks should show up in the comments above the ad that you're retargeting bold and big. Because think about it, that because if you don't do that, you're just looking like any other ad. But think about the neighborhoods you all live in. How often do you go on Facebook and see your own neighborhood mentioned on it? Never. Because things aren't that hyper-local, which is why we tell you, your city, yeah, it might say Visalia, Ventura, Pismo, whatever, Los Angeles, it might say that, but that's not going to draw your attention because that's not very hyper-local. That's regionally local. Hyper-local, it's like talking about your neighborhood. And if you see that, guess what you're going to do? You're going to stop and look and maybe even click, because it's so rare to see that. So if we upload into Facebook and we run and retarget an ad back at the people that live in that neighborhood, it's retargeting ads is next to nothing. For Rocky, for a neighborhood of 500 people, how much does retargeting cost?
You could set it up to, you know, I only want to spend $5 a day. And just let that ad run and just kind of watch, okay, you know, what you're getting from that ad.
You can
tap on it and just let it run by itself, or do a daily ad and just let it kind of go. It's really just how much you want to spend.
Nice, yeah. So you know, kind of matches any budget that way. So it's another way to, you know, so now imagine if they've got a phone call from you, they've got an email from you, they've seen you, you know, list properties on social media, they've seen you retarget ads back at them. You know, at that point, it's like almost within 30 days, it's like, wow, this guy's really, really active in Royal Oaks. You can take over a neighborhood very, very quickly by doing all this. And again, this is listings from people you don't know. And guess what? You get to pick your price point and where you want to work. Because you can, and that's the best way to target a price point. If you want to get higher priced homes, do it by geography. I mean, there's two ways to do that, right? You can do it by demographics. In other words, you can start hanging out with people that live in, you can join country clubs and start playing tennis and, you know, wear white headbands and play polo and things like that. And you can start like mingling with people that live in more expensive houses. That's harder and that's more expensive. Or you can start marketing directly to the homes with the higher prices. And that's called farming. And that's what we're kind of talking about, all these different ways to kind of blend lead generation methods together to systematically contact and generate business from a targeted community. that makes sense. Does that help you guys a little bit there? So these are some things we can do to really generate business and establish a foothold in different neighborhoods. And these are activity-based. Nothing I'm really telling you here costs a lot of money. I didn't mention, you know, and one of the things you always traditionally associate with farming is mailers. And mailers do work and they're wonderful. They're very expensive, but they do work. But everything I'm telling you is really activity-based. In other words, it's going to be more sweat and less money. There's little bits of money here and there for coal and for, you know, for expired listings and things, but they're usually one-time deals. They don't cost you a lot. It's just like buying business cards or something like that. And then for the most part, you've got a system up and running that you can use forever. So that's the plan. Does that make sense? Does that help everybody? Because I'm going to leave it to you at that. Sounds like we kind of went a little bit over. So, all right, well, guys, thank you so much. Again, we do this, and I appreciate so many people. I know a lot of you guys are coming on at different times and stuff like that, which I love. 1 o'clock next week, every week. So keep coming back every single Tuesday. I appreciate you guys, and have a great one.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make these too, Brian. So looking
awesome.
Forward
I
to
love
it.
That, Albert. Thank you, thank you. Okay. And, oh, and no offense, Albert, about the polo comment. Albert likes polo. Okay, bye guys.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Trainer Podcast, sponsored by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. For more information about real estate coaching or to watch Brian's training videos, check out therealestatetrainer.com or find us on social media. And remember, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you get the latest episodes as soon as they're available.